Welcome to Blush Podcast, where we dive into the raw, the real, and the beautifully messy parts of love, passion, and everything in between the pages. Today, we've got a very special guest joining us, the incredible Amy Oliveira, best-selling author known for her emotionally charged romances that leave us breathless and begging for more. We're talking heartbeats, heartbreaks, and the stories that make us feel. So grab your drink, get cozy, and let's get into it.
Hello, we are here. Brandon is coming from the car. Ha ha. Brandon's joining from the car because she is a
responsible
team player.
Driver.
Yes, I was going to say team player. Yes, that very too. Responsible. Yeah, we've got another fun interview today. We have Amy Oliveira, Brazilian and Irish. Amy Oliveira is a romance author dedicated to writing about the two things your Christian guilt won't let you enjoy, therapy and smut. She sounds so fun. Amy's leads are strong, flawed, and very open about their mental health struggles, and her heroes are understanding, lovable, and often pierced. Yeah. In contemporary paranormal or Omegaverse, this combination will result in a delicious slow burn with a lot of heart and a lot of heat. So she's going to be super fun. Here she is. Brandon's coming to us from the car, which is amazing. So do you have an adult beverage with you?
Me? No.
Yeah.
Gigantic fake monster.
I'm the only one. Obviously, Brandon's not drinking because she's driving. I have some wine. I got it. Somebody's got to do it. And I got to show you this. It's from 19 Crimes. And they have a Universal Monsters special edition.
Oh, that's
cool. So this is Bride of Frankenstein. I know. And the art is so cool. And let's see. The profile is rich and round with a soft, fruity finish. Sweet aromatics with notes of chocolate. But the...
Oh, that's right. You can scan the QR code and then she'll... talk to you.
Oh, I love that.
They do that with Snoop also, because they have a California blend with Snoop on the front, on the label, and he'll talk to you. So here's the fun description. Lightning may have brought the bride to life, but it's her boldness that lights up a room. Raise a glass and celebrate this leading lady of horror cinema, an icon in her own right. Scan the QR code above to bring the Bride of Frankenstein to life. Okay, so that's kind of all they did. But and I have a super fun, like, themed glass to go with it, a little skeleton hand. Okay, so I'm going to do my little... It does. It's, yeah, it's like a... It's as advertised, fruity, and it does a little bit sweet, but not too much, and a little bit of chocolate.
You just made everything sound so rich and amazing. I usually just say, put in my glass and put loads.
Just keep going.
Put lots in there.
It's lots.
Oh, you get a little bit of tart on the sides.
Ooh, I love that.
Of your tongue. And then it's like a nice chocolate finish at the end. You get the berries in the front with the tart, and then it smooths out chocolate at the end. Very nice.
Ooh, that is delicious. I really want lightning.
Mm-hmm. So this is obviously a swallow. chocolate covered berries.
Yeah.
Yum, yum. Okay. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. The book I read of yours was the Why Choose with the Irish Guys.
Yeah.
Because I'm Irish and I was like, I need to read this one.
And not that simple.
Yes.
Because I love Omegaverse and I obviously enjoy my books, but let's be honest, when with the puns with not is very hard to like they blend in. So like I am like because those three nodding before them, not that simple. And not in my plans. We're like, when I start, like, I'm going to write on my... I was, like, following the rules. And then now I was like, I cannot. Like, I know that my next Omegaverse was not going to have knots because I... Me too. Like, I cannot.
I cannot.
I cannot. And I was talking to Devin Sinclair by the time she was titling... Just drive. And then we were talking about this and she's like, I'm just walking away from the knot puns because I just and obviously she has a very extensive Omegaverse one. I had three and I was done. Like I'm like, this is
So you're Brazilian and Irish, and I crept on your info a little bit. So your husband's Irish, is that right?
Yeah.
And you live there now in Ireland?
Yeah. I am born and raised in Brazil. And then 12 years ago, I came. And then now I have a husband and a kid. And everyone. So this
Did
is
you
how.
Just go visit Ireland and then you like met a dude?
And I came for like 6 months, like learn English.
Oh, yeah.
And then I met him on the first month that we're here.
Amazing.
I guess
so. Cute. Did you never go back home? Did you just stay from then, from that visit?
Yeah, like I wanted to stay more. Like I had plans, like visa stuff. So I kind of knew it was like I can renew my student visa, but I also knew that was gonna be very expensive. So like you know, it was a want. It's not like I had set like no. I would love to stay longer. But then I actually did.
That's amazing. In your book, they're around the Dingle Peninsula, right?
Yeah. In Kerry.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. It's so pretty. And then there's many, like when the first time I went, they were up there and we were not driving at the time. So we got the train and we went down. And then you can see like they do the, I'm going to butcher all the Irish here. So if they're Irish people listening, I'm so sorry. But they have the Gaelic talk, which is like the camp for the kids to be talking Irish the whole time. Yeah. So we were kind of like in the train and there was like this group of teenagers 100% speaking in Irish. And then I started talking. I was like, oh my God, that's so like they're really fluent. And then we were talking about that. And there is. And then I start to like that idea of a little village they speak in Irish because it wouldn't be the reality of Dublin, you know.
Right.
My husband knows nothing. He knows how to say, can I go to the bathroom, because he's been to school. He doesn't speak Irish. And then I thought about this and I was like, that's perfect. Like a little village and like passing Dingle. So in the middle of nowhere, which that the way it's in the book, it's kind of where the caravan of my in-laws stay. So they pass Dingle and they go up on, and then it kind of like, it's the little windy roads and you can see the Atlantic here. So I kind of describe this.
It's like by the Cliffs of Moher, kind of.
So you kind of go like this. And then instead, in real life, they arrive in a little beach and then all the caravans here and all the like the mobile homes for everybody. But I did a little turn here when there was a little village excluded. And so like, they would probably read and be like, wait,
what's going on? Yeah, that's cool. Well, because I got real excited. The Aran Islands, we went out to we did like a boat tour of the cliffs and they take you out to the Aran Islands and then you like fuck around there and have lunch and then they bring you back and you sail right along the front of the cliffs, like, which is really cool to see them from the front and the side instead of just standing at the top, you know?
Yeah, especially because you get shitty views on the top, like most of the days.
So right. And it was gorgeous. And when we went out to the Aran Islands, they all speak Irish there, Irish Gaelic. And they're like, we learned English just for the people coming to tour. So that village in your book made me think of that. I was like, oh, it's like the little Aran Islands.
No, and it's the first thing I noticed here that was like, yes, they don't use, but it is like part of having your culture. And it is such like after you oppress for 800 years and and as a Brazilian who obviously was done with the native tongue and then imposed Portuguese, I really like wish that we had that. I wish I could go to Brazil and see things and see like the native tongue, and we don't. So I'm like also like I know, but no, it's important.
It is. And I do like that they still have the Irish, like it'll be under the street signs and then it'll have the thing, you know, which I think that's cool just to help preserve it, like you said.
Yeah, you know? It's just preserving, you know, there's very little. But even like my mother-in-law, she speaks like, and we would go, there was like the Irish club, there are members and there's been nights just for bands that it's all music in Irish and stuff. And we go over and she gives a little translation to me, like what they're saying. And so like it's happening. It is like somewhat alive, and it's alive because I think it's beautiful. And also it's a beautiful language too.
It is. It's, I love it. I think it's beautiful. The way they will put sentences together, like their phrasing is really pretty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How much of, I probably should have you explain like a little synopsis of your books. But before I forget this question, how much of the storyline besides the three dudes was similar to your experience coming to Ireland? Because she has a daughter who's learning both languages at the same time, and you know, all of that. How much is taken from your real life experiences?
Well, I did not have a daughter, but but like that, it's really funny because I always think when people, usually, if you don't speak another language, you don't know where people will find difficult, you know? So that's definitely like that moment of like, you know, just learning. She learns really fast because kids learn really fast anyway. But yeah, there was like a few things like that question. She's in the car and she asks straight away, what is the other language? I asked that. I arrived and I was already an au pair. So the family collected me in the airport. And it was the first thing I sat down. I looked, I was like, what is the other language? I didn't know that there was Irish as well. So was 100% me. And then funny enough, this book, I had decided already that I wanted to do Carrie and I do Irish. But the funniest thing is I was like postpartum. So Naughty Before Them, which is the first book, I wrote 6 weeks postpartum. And then, so this is all 2024. And then I'm like writing this little novella. So like her body, her mom body, that was me. And that was fucking hard. So even like she's after Latina, I'm two. And then she's very mid-sized, I'm two. And then like really okay with like stretch marks. And that's the thing too that I noticed, because I had hyperemesis gravidians, so I actually lost weight during my pregnancy. So, and then I gained weight when I was, because I was really hungry when I finally finished. I was starving. And then I was breastfeeding, and then it gets
Gonna say, if you did breastfeeding, that makes you super hungry too.
Well, hungry. So I ate my life. And then I gained some weight, but still, like, I was fitting on my size very quickly. I'd never been a really small girl, so it was not like, oh my God. But your body is completely different. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like size and think people think it's like my clothes is back, but like they sit different on me now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and that was that acceptance. I always been like big butt, thick thighs, but I didn't have any belly. And now I have like mummy pouch here, which is very hard. And even when I gain weight like on my butt. I know, because when I look, I'm like, okay, this is getting like out of hand. Like I would look like, okay, now it will consume small cities. Like what is happening? But now I have like this little thing. And I'm like, and that was 100%, and it was hard. If I wrote Nothing Before Them in like a week and a half, this book took me months, because I had a lot of like just dealing with my own body and writing my body. And I didn't want to like brush it off, just say like, you know, I wanted to talk about in a way that would be like me telling myself that was still beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like affirming for yourself.
Yeah. And that was hard.
Yeah.
That was really, really, really hard. Because, and then the other one was really funny, because the other one of the series, right after, she's plus size, but she doesn't have my body. So I can see the beauty. So it was really easy for me to write, because I like, I actually, it was my artist, Flesh Fried. So B post a selfie. And I said, you're so gorgeous. I'm going to write you a FMC. And then she laughed. And I was like, no, it's true. I'm going to. And then she even like helped me find a girl that looks like her. And and everything. So it was really easy for me, because I do think she's gorgeous. So it's not a problem that I like, I couldn't find a fat body. It was just because this one was mine.
Yeah. I can see that too, because I also have mom bod, and also I have a whole bunch of autoimmune diseases, and my body has just kind of like deteriorated. So I can't do, like, I used to dance, so I was like perfect shape, not perfect shape. Well, everybody's shape is perfect. I was in like really incredible, super toned, muscular, everything. And it's definitely not anymore. And especially with mom bod, I've had two kids, and like it's I can see other people and be like, they're all gorgeous. Everybody's gorgeous. And then I look at me and I'm like, even though I might technically look the same, you know. And I did really appreciate that. And I remember that reading that book, that I was like, gosh, you describe her attributes really well, where it's like you can get that feeling of I'm trying to feel okay in my body, but also like still be confident in it. And then I also love when you go from the guy's point of views and how gorgeous they think she is, you know?
Yeah, they love her. They're obsessed with her.
Okay, so give an overview of the series that we've been talking about, and then your other books.
So, so the series that we were talking about is The Lost Omegas. It's pretty much like my introduction to Omegaverse, which I always loved, and I feel that's so cozy. And I came up as the first one, like nodding before them. I had this idea, and at the time would be like December. Obviously, it's me. So I was heavily pregnant. Like my kid was born the end of November, and I was like, I'm going to write a Christmas novella.
Like you do, like, you know.
Of course I would. Like, what? And then I had this idea, but like, it was really funny because it wasn't a Megaverse at the time. I just had this idea of this girl coming to like Switzerland, and she wanted to paint the mountain, and then she wouldn't find the perfect view. And then she went and be like, no, it's that cabin has the perfect view. And the cabin had three guys. And
You know, it does.
Cozy, you know, cabin vibes, snowy mountain. And then, but then obviously I couldn't do it for Christmas. And I was like, it's okay. I'm going to do for Valentine's Day, right? Again.
Yeah. That is with a newborn. That's new crazy.
But then it was really good that I decided to step away, because then I like, you know, like, because I wanted like a very, like a lot of spice and not much plot, just like, but I couldn't find like, what is all this making sense? And then Omegaverse came, and I was like, what if she doesn't know if she's Omega? What if she has no idea there's alphas and there's knots and there's anything? Like, what if she's just like, her father left the village? And this whole idea came together, and it was really good that I had this pause, because it was a book that would be like mainly just smut, and it still is, but now it's a smut that makes sense.
Yeah, smut that makes sense. I love
that. Which we appreciate.
Yeah.
And as I was doing, and then that's something that, and at this point, right, and then it was like a part of, like, it was very important for me to finish this book because I felt like it was a moment, right? Like, I had a newborn, and I was really scared of, like, maybe I won't be able to write anymore. Mind you, like, he was a very easy baby, so I did, like, there was no problem. But I wrote that book, and that was it. And then I was like, but that was like this world that I knew that was a little bit different. Like, I consume a lot of Omegaverse, and I like it. But I felt that this was a very, like, different take that I haven't seen yet. And I got, like, excited. And it's not, like, overly complicated. So there's the betas are regular people that have no idea they're Omegas and Alphas. Omegas and Alphas are in small villages hidden. So they were, like, they are pretending to be regular people, but they don't tell all the, like, scent match and knots and everything. Through time, they don't have Omegas anymore. So that's the thing. Like, now the packs knew that they're going to be alone. So some people, because they knew they're going alone, they're like, okay, fuck this, right? I'm just going to go. And that's when they end up getting with betas. And now they had daughters that are Omegas, and they're lost in the world. And then when the packs figure out that, they're like, let's do this exchange program.
Which is great. I thought that was really cool that, like, matchmakers.
It was like, let's bring all these girls over here. And so, because I was like, actually, this is very, like, in the first one, they discover all of this because she literally doesn't know. And she starts her heat, and like, it was an accident. But as like, you read the second one, which she knows, and she's rescued, and she's speaking, and like, she's aware, even though she doesn't know, she's aware what's going on. She was briefed. She gets the lowdown. I just love, and so I really, really love this series. I think it's like, it's an interesting concept that got me really excited, but it's not overly complicated that I could do my whole idea of very spicy, very cozy, and like, that's it. Like, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And I do, and like, I finish with the last one. So there are three of them, and now I have the Omnibus on KU, but I also doing this Omnibus on like special edition, and I partner up with a candle maker and Book and Burn, and she's doing the scents of all the girls.
I love that.
By the candle. Yeah,
that's you can like buy my the candle. Favorite. The candles and like the wax melts and stuff.
Right? Yeah,
yes. And I think it's like, so cool.
Right, like you can read, and then the candles are named the Omegas. There's Julia, Gabriella, and Isadora. And you can, like, buy to know the scent of each one of them when they perfume. Yeah.
And it's so nice, like, you can read and have it, and you're, like, getting...
It's super cozy.
Very cozy. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I did really like that about this was it's a novella, so fast read, you know, and it's super fun, but it also hits on a lot of things that are, you know, important to talk about, too, like body image and all of that stuff. But it's not like, I am making a statement here. It's just like...
It's not like forcing down your throat.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yes, and it is very spicy, lots of spicy, but it also does have a story, which is good. So, smut, that makes sense. I like that term. Yeah, it should. That should be your, like, Amy Oliveira, smut, that makes sense.
I think there's a point that I kind of, like, because I write and loads, like, I have my contemporary. I start with very contemporary stuff, and then I have some paranormal, and then I start with Omegaverse, and I do dark romance, especially when I write with Aurelia Knight. Mm-hmm. And now I push her to the Y2, so we have a dark Y2.
Fun.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, that sounds
It's delicious. So, like, I kind of, like, realize that you can still be you, and you still can have a command even when you hop around.
Yeah.
And, like, these things that you said about this book, you will find in my contemporary, and you'll find in the dark romance. If you pick, like, the book that me and Rita wrote last year, it's Nutcracker Retelling.
I wanted to read that. Well, actually, I looked at all the books and I was like, I want to read all of these. And I was like, I can only pick one at a time because we have, you know, so many interviews.
Yeah,
all in you
need, there's people coming.
I was like, but I always do that. It's so bad. I'm like, I want to read all of these. And that one, because I used to be a dancer.
Very surprised you didn't choose.
I almost did. I was like, oh my God, it's Nutcracker. But I was like, you know, when I read it, it was like July, and I was like, I don't know if I can do Nutcracker in July, but I definitely want to. I'm definitely going to pick that up because I like Aurelia too. So
we love Aurelia. Mm-hmm. But it is also, I love, really, really love to write that book because I danced my whole life.
Yeah.
And every time I read, like, it's not very a ballet book. Like, you know, they would say it's a ballet romance. And it's like when you pick, it's the vibes, but it's not a. That sugar plant is. She's in sequence. I picked up, like, what is the sequence here? And then, like, I would put stuff, and then Aurelia would be like, and that was really funny because Aurelia does not know ballet. So that was really good because I'll be like saying the words of the movement, which for me makes sense. And then she's like, no, we need to explain what the fuck is it. Like, I don't know. What is this? And I was like, oh, your leg does this.
Because it's weird, like, you don't realize that people don't understand that, you know?
No, and it was, like, I would think, okay, if I do this and this for, like, certain movements, yes, I would explain, but, like, oh, she start on second position. And like, what is second position?
People are like, I don't, and you're like, it's obviously second position. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, what is in second, but, like, what more explanation you want your foot was in second position?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good balance of, like, I was excited to have this ballet book, and she would, like, put the brakes on, like, okay, but we need to explain to people what's going on here.
Yeah. So but that's good because I bet, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting because I get excited.
No.
Because it's apparent that you know what you're talking about. You're like, yes, this is from a dancer. But then it's also good for people outside of the world. It's not alienating to them because she's like,
no,
hey.
No. It's not like, this whole chunk, I have no idea what's going on in the book.
Right.
And then I did this thing that I actually looked it up because I started marketing and I was started talking about it, and there's loads of people that were excited. And then I was like, okay. And I picked 10 ballerinas. And one of their ballerinas was in a production of Nutcracker. And then I gave them arcs and stuff. Uh-huh. And then Aurelia was shitting her pants. Hey, you. Oh, my God. It was like, I need the ballerinas to tell me everything is okay. And they all, like, if you go through the reviews, the ballerinas are very happy because it's like, it's a ballet book. Well, and he's the director. So it's truly like, yeah. So he's the director. She's the ballerina.
I love it. Kind of like the movie Black Swan. Did you see that movie with Natalie Portman?
Yes.
Yes. Where he's like, the director.
Very much like that. So yeah, I love that. But it's also like when you go over that book, it's very like, you know, there's all the feelings, there's all the mental health, and they all like,
yeah, which is all this, a huge thing in dance, and people don't always realize that. And yeah.
There's even like one thing, the body image, one thing that she, because she is disgraced and she's like starving, she was like, there's a whole backstory, mm-hmm. but like very skinny. And one of the girls be like, oh, you're so skinny, you're so lucky. And then she's internalizing that, thinking, mm-hmm. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally starving. And people were, like, complimenting her body.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I want food.
Right. Like,
this is not okay. Yeah. So I kind of, like, realized that whatever, I would be scared of hopping around if you're going to mm-hmm. talk about list, and I have like all this different, but now I realize that like, no, it's okay, because I have like this little, that you know, it's my book.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna bring something. You kind of like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
There's three books in the series now.
Yeah,
so there's Crack, Swan Lake.
Oh, Swan Lake. And then
Giselle.
I know, I love Giselle.
I love Giselle. Oh, that makes me so happy. Oh my God. I love it.
And I was like, really, and we had this conversation because I was like, I want to do Giselle. Like, I want to do Giselle. And then we have like, but people don't know, because we're trying to be like what people would know.
Yeah.
So obviously they know Nutcracker. They always know Swan Lake. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whatever.
It's the last one.
It's the last one.
The last one. They'll already be like invested in it.
Yeah, and they already know the all ballerinas. Mm-hmm. And the last one, that is Giselle, and they are brothers, and they're serial killers. And that is the whole thing of pretending that
they're
not pretending to be something else.
Yeah, I like this. I like it. I like that it's fun when, because I've read a couple, like I get excited, obviously, if it's like a ballet book mm-hmm. or something. And then I'm like, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. No, you know?
Yeah, that's what I feel, which I usually like. I like it anyway, because like sometimes mm-hmm. they just pick the vibes and I'm like, yeah whatever.
And that's fun. Yeah.
I want a ballet book.
Yes, exactly.
And Sugar Plum is a ballet book.
Yeah.
Which I love. And it was the same thing when I did like with... for like my Irish books, is always like, oh, people don't know much about Ireland.
Yeah.
And still gets excited. And I still read it. Like sometimes you just want the vibes. Like I'm not very, like as a reader, if you're giving me the vibes and if I'm like having a great time, I love the book. I'm not very like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a very, a reader that would like be really criticizing anything even mm-hmm. before I author, like everything is 5 stars. I'm just having a
you're so
I'm
cute.
Just vibing.
Yeah. If it has good vibes, like that definitely helps, because I get weird about like the dance books, and I get weird about hockey too. I love
I
hockey.
Don't read soccer ones because love soccer.
Yeah, because you would probably get really intense about that. Yeah. And I'm like, they did everything wrong here. And I was like, no. Even if the rest of the book is fine, and I'm just like, nope.
Yeah, I think I read, the only soccer book I read was Coty from Mariana Zapata.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love Mariana Zapata. Mm-hmm. But that one, I also, there's like some movements and I'm like, but I love it anyway because I love her books and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like me, like God coming, see, you cannot. Hockey, mm-hmm. baseball, American football, read all of them because I know shit.
Yeah, whatever. I love it. Yeah. And I am like, hockey is my big, big one. And then I'm also a pretty big baseball fan, too. And we did Pippa Grant. I love her. She does a lot more like rom-com stuff. And I'm not really into like rom-coms, except I really like hers. And she has like a baseball series and a hockey series and like a rock star series and stuff. But they're all kind of like from the same town, you know? And I'm like, all these super talented people all from the same town.
Oh, my God. This little town that everything means what they put in the water. Everybody's trash.
Exactly. But like, I mean, she and Amy Rivkin, her baseball book, I was like, everything is accurate and it's amazing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not, when I say I have a sport romance, right? And mm-hmm. My husband, he always says like, and then you forgot. So I have MMA, which mm-hmm. is keepsake. And now he is a retired one. So it's like, I do have like fight scenes.
He's a retired MMA fighter?
And
awesome.
Like, no, not my
husband.
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, how did you score
the
that?
Guy
no,
the
guy
book.
In the book. Okay.
Wishes. No, he's not. Just the guy in the book.
Okay.
So it's like, but there is scenes, but he asked me once, he was like, does it just leave your brain? I was like, yeah, because like when I'm writing a sports romance, and I only have three, I have the same series, I have basketball. And then the second one is wheelchair basketball.
Oh, cool.
There is like, so the MMC on Forget Me Aisha Harris, he is the captain of the wheelchair basketball team. Uh-huh. So there was a,
I love that. I love that you have all this diversity in your books. That's amazing.
When I get in my mind that some guy, like, was watching Queer Eye, and there was, like, one, I think so maybe it's season one or something, like, there was one guy really good looking with the wheelchair, and he goes on that, and especially when they finish, when I was like, and I was like, he's gonna be an MMC. So then I wrote him as one of the friends of, like, the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write his story. And he's going to be like, you know, it's this university and there's like the basket team and there's the weird child basket team. So there was like for a month, I was like watching all the games.
It's amazing how they can like do all the stuff.
It's crazy. Yeah. Wheelchair basketball is the one that it got to me. Because I did that with MMA. I did that with basketball. And I just watch and absorb. And then I'm
That's great that you do that, though. So you have your research.
I do research. Yeah. I'm sure if there's someone that is an expert, they're going to. But I do research and I do try to get like the moves and describe in a way that like it's possible.
That's awesome.
You know, so I do that. And my husband always asks. And I and I learned the rules and stuff. And he's like, then you just delete. And I was like, the moment I finish this book is deleted. Because he noticed, it's not something I save. I'd be like, oh, now I know about. No, it's deleted from my brain. I don't know anything. But wheelchair basketball is so interesting. And there's so many layers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like that one stuck with me. It's just because like when you start really watching and then you see they're fucking flipping.
It's insane.
It's insane. They're like... You blink someone flip and then still get pa-pa. And I was like, what?
It's crazy. I'm like, I'm not even that graceful, like just being walking on my 2 feet. It's insane. I know.
And that's what I do. And I'm sure I don't get everything right.
But I do like that you make an effort to like at least get most of it right, you know? And like, I like if that you do the research.
There is like, if there is like move that I'm so like, you know, I'm like going to start. I know I'm going to start with his POV and I know we need to have whatever. I actually watch a game and I describe what is happening.
That's awesome.
So I don't need to come up because I know that I can come up with this. So I just like. Pick one. So in this specifically, like, you know, if especially like it's college. So like, okay, but I want to watch a college basketball
That's
game.
That's awesome. I love that.
Like on the level. Mm-hmm. And then I just like, that's what I do. Like, you know, I'm not even like, no, I'm just going to literally describe what's happening. I'm not going
to
come up with
that. That's like a great way to do it. Like, I love your dedication to the craft. Like that you're, you know, but seriously, because some people are like, I'm just going to write a hockey book and I'll just write about hockey and the things I think are cool about hockey and not real. And because there's been a couple books that I've read and I'm like, have they ever watched an actual hockey game? Like,
but the problem, like, hockey was big as a trend and I'm all of it to follow. Like, when the trend is something suits me, like, and I get excited, I will hop on a trend. But if it's something that I would never go, I don't go because
that's how I am too.
Yeah. There's going to be no soul if I just hop into something. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many trends. There's so many trends. So I'm going to, like, I see myself, like, literally, like, in a boat and everything passing. And then I can choose, like, okay, this is interesting. I'm not going to, like, hop in everything because then readers will be able to tell.
Yeah, exactly. And that we've talked about that with a couple other authors that, like, readers can tell if the author isn't feeling their own project. You know, so I really like that. So we did kind of talk about this. You've talked about your main characters, where you got inspiration for the wheelchair male main character and your artist for your female main character and also yourself. Are there other people in your life for the other characters, the secondary, tertiary characters? Do you have other people that inspire them or do you just kind of, I want this person to be like this?
And not like sometimes is I have a weird way to start. And I know that because I know my friends do a different way. But like I everything starts for me with the FMC when I start to like formulate this story. Or in the case of writing with Aurelia, it's usually when she will like come up with an idea and like try to seduce me into writing with her. And then she knows I'm in if I like her name is whatever. Right. So I like the Nutcracker. She came out. Let's do a Nutcracker and like dark romance Nutcracker obsessed director who is ballerina. And I'm like, that's a really good idea. And then one day I'm like, her name is Lila.
She's like in. She's in.
So usually that's how I start. Like it comes to me. And sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's random. I see someone and I'd be like, oh. That like sometimes is even in the street, she's gonna look cool. And not necessarily someone that I know. Sometimes is like, you know, like I know Brie for a long time, but like it was that selfie. And then I asked her to design the cover of the omnibus and I said, oh, and the third girl, so it's that this three omegas, and then the third girl was like, that's your selfie. Like you drew. You please draw yourself.
Please draw yourself. That's so, cute.
Like sometimes something that sparkles or like something that you would say that I'm like, ooh, that's delicious.
So tell me all about this new release that you're doing.
Yeah, because I think you're going to like it.
Yes, right? I feel I am pretty sure I'm going
to
like it.
So Dark White Twos is five guys and a gothic academia. So she receives a mysterious letter with a scholarship with the most exclusive academia and like academy in the country. And then she arrives there and it's just her dorm is a bed with five doors around it. And she doesn't know what is happening.
Ooh, I love this and premise already.
Yes. And it's free access and it's like 24 free access. There's the guys, there's a lot of, there's like bully. So there's some dubcon situation. So it is like, it is a trigger warning kind of book, but it's also, yeah, it's delicious.
It's delicious. It sounds great.
So usually like, obviously I do enjoy my own books. You know, why wouldn't I?
I wrote my book and now I hate it, you know.
I definitely have during the self-editing time, I do hate it. So, but this one, this specific one, is again, a really idea. She wants to write this and I'm like, oh, five guys, it's too many. Like, you know, I write White Shoes with three.
That's, I'm curious with the five. I keep interrupting you. Do they?
No.
Is it? Are there scenes where there's all five of them at one time?
Yes.
Where does everything go?
Well, she has two hands.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking. Like one, two, three.
Oh, don't worry. I have art.
You do. Four, five, right? Or there's like, I've read one time where they do like the boob, you know, but I'm also like.
No,
well, that
teases on the boob. I hate on the boob. Leave my boob.
Wait, do it again. Do it again. This like.
I am going to show you and it's going to be amazing.
Because I'm always like, I'm really excited to see. I'm always curious when there's like why choose and they have like all the guys at one time.
Oh, many.
And I'm also like I get where, you know, all the places for the girl to have them have all the dicks in all the places.
Okay.
But then I'm also like, how do the guys position themselves? Yeah. Oh, hey.
You see.
Yep. There's, I don't know if it was five. I think it was four that I read. Maybe there was one of five because I feel like that position sounds familiar
to
me.
That position that we're going to call, and my friend called when I showed her. She was like, I knew. She was like, oh my God. And I was like, I told you it was porn that will send you.
Yeah.
And then she was like, but I did not expect her to look like she's a coffee table. So now.
That is very much. Like I was like, spider maybe? I don't know. Like they're
I've
like
been
the spider
doing,
web.
This is part
coffee
of my marketing
right
now. Because I was like, this is how, like, she made me laugh so much. And I was like, I'm going to use this. And I'm going to just literally put some a table.
There you
and
go.
I have
now
many.
You can post it online.
I have many. I've been doing this.
That's so funny. But I love it. You know what? This was 15, 20 years ago, maybe. It was a Guinness ad. And it was a Guinness ad in Ireland because it would never fly here in the U.S. And it was a girl. You could only see, like, the top of... There was... Okay, so there was a Guinness sitting on... on like her back, right?
Yeah.
And she's naked. So it was like, and you couldn't really tell. It was like they were using her as a coffee table and she was getting like spit roasted. And so like the ad is that it's just the top of her back and the pint of Guinness and it's kind of going like this. And then the one hand reaches in from this side to take it and then it goes down and then it's like this. And then the other hand reaches in from this side to drink it. And it says like Guinness, like share with friends or something. It was amazing. I was like, this is the best ad I've ever seen.
Same for Ireland.
I know. I was surprised. But...
I'm very surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up. What has happened with Irish?
I'm going to have to see if I can find it and send it. If I can find it, I'll send it to you because it was.
That is an amazing ad.
It was awesome. And like my. It was so cool. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, because you think, oh, it's just a girl like having sex, like cool. And then you see the second hand come in and you're like,
ooh. Still, like for Ireland, I would still be like,
that would still be pretty. Yeah. I wonder if it was somewhere else and not Ireland, but it definitely wasn't the U.S.
Guinness ad. Like, you know,
it was a straight up Guinness ad. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah,
anyway, coffee table. Like, that's hilarious.
I definitely was like, oh my God, five. And she's like, no, we're going to do five. And then this book was like, it's called Gates of Beltorn. It's been out since October 7th. And it's actually like, we giggled so much and we enjoyed. And it's like the academy is a castle inside a mountain. And there's like secret passages. And there's like a very like the four founding families. Very like secret society, and they all dressed in like a very gothic, weird, like Victorian. The FMC complains. She's like, "What is this?" And then I got the designer who designed my wedding dress.
Ooh.
I asked her to design Sable's wardrobe when she gets to Beltorn. So we do have now a session in my website when you can like you go have a round and it's like you enter and we send letters to our readers with like the acceptance letter to Beltorn Academy.
Oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing
ever.
And
it's gorgeous because Aurelia is actually doing that. And she's like, because she's doing like wax seals and stuff and got like the B for Beltorn.
That's amazing. Gorgeous. I love wax seals.
I know. And it's like, it's just the coolest thing. And then they got like a QR code and I made like a student guide where they can like read the first chapter and then see Sable's wardrobe and like see the scenes and do that.
That's
and then it's
so
kind of like,
cool.
Yeah, because I was like really excited. So you're going to be accepted. Like, thank you for accepting your congratulations for your scholarship, you know. Enjoy the academy and they have like all this and
it's cool.
Like then there's like the books part, which is actually like the NSFW that people can order. And we did indie bookstore exclusive edition and it's inside has that art that I show you. And there's another one that they're in bed and it's like SFW and it's a full spread.
That's awesome.
And gray edges. And it's just a beautiful edition. Really, really beautiful. It is very exciting. And we are promising like it won't be in Amazon. It's going to be like the only way for you to get this edition with the art inside. With full spread is through an indie bookstore.
And I love that it's like specifically indie bookstores. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. All this stuff. I want to ask you so many things. I knew when I was like, oh, we're going to get her on and I'm going to want to be her best friend and talk to her for forever.
I'm so happy.
And then next time I come to Ireland, I can come like say hi. Yes. Next time I come, like I come all the time, but I would
as if you're like,
But I do get excited
when people come.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have any other events coming up? Are there book events in Ireland
at all? I did one in Belfast this year.
Oh, cool.
It's really nice.
What is that called? I would love to go to that and make an excuse that I have to go, you know.
Belfast Books and Ball Gowns.
Ooh, fun. They have a Books and Ball Gowns here.
Yeah. And they look like very fantasy-like. And I was like, okay. So when I saw the roster, because I was a little bit scared.
Yeah.
Because I was like, but at the same time, it's 40 minutes from my house.
So I was kind of like, whatever. And I just went. And we had, like, it was really, really, really nice event. Very organized. We had a great time. So I absolutely, like, they're skipping 2026, but they're doing 2027. I really, and I do think that they are timing with Rare. That's the only problem for me. Because it was the week before Rare. So I did that. And then I did Rare. And then I was dead.
Oh, my gosh. You did Rare right after?
And both of them was like full day events. And it was just like, which is very smart for them because then they get the U.S. right.
Yeah, like, that makes sense because I'm already there. So I can just hop over.
For an event that is just starting. Mm-hmm. That's really smart. And also for like, I even said to Aurelia, like, next time when you come to Rare, because she didn't come this year, but, you know, she can come whatever chance. She, like, she's invited. And they usually, like, Rare is very, like, loyal to the authors. So I was like, the next time when you decide to come, like, it would be nice for you to do that. And you can stay home. Because it's just, like, more opportunity to make money when you're, like, such a long trip.
Yeah, to, like, to make up for that deficit, I guess. Like, if you've got another one you can do where you're like, I can just sell twice as many books.
It's just like more. Yeah. And they are doing Rare Dublin 2028.
Nuh-uh.
I know. I signed up already.
I wonder if they want us to come as a
vendor. Oh, my God. You should absolutely come. I was already talking to them.
Be like, how obnoxious do you want me to be about Irish stuff? Because I'm probably more obnoxious. I'm probably more obnoxious than, like, native Irish people. So, two questions. Oh, well, I've got a whole bunch of stuff. But, yeah, like, U.S., like, even here, what I tell people, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have a book event. And they're like, hey. And they, I swear, in their minds, they don't think it's anywhere near what it is. And then I'll, like, show pictures and stuff, and they're like, what is happening? And I'm like,
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I remember there was my friend. Husband, when I start doing this, like, he just couldn't understand how I was making money as an author.
Yeah.
Because when you don't read, you're kind of like trying to understand, like, okay, so one person buy your book and you know your book is whatever. Like, especially an ebook that would be like, you know, five.
It's like $5 to get the ebook, so you get 10 cents or whatever it is.
Yeah. Actually, like, you know, if I'm okay, okay, you, and then, like, you know, it's like it's okay, but at least this. But still, like, how, like, it wouldn't get in his mind how, and I was like, you don't understand. I sometimes, like, especially in the beginning, that I was like, I would see someone finding my book and then going through.
Yeah. Like, and then looking at all the
true. I was like, you don't understand. There's never enough for them.
Right.
Like,
and I'm just like, and that's how I was too. Like, I'd finish one and then be like, what's the next? What can I do next? What's,
Oh, I got a full crisis because I finished Orsa Dox and all the alien. I love alien romance. So I read loads and then I finished everything. And she has like the cowboy ones that was just six now, but she has the other one, the Sand Warriors. They are like 15. So I was like, great, because I want to.
Yeah.
So I read, and I was like, you know, like, orphan child, what do I do? And then was Davin now. Davin said, like, oh, you need to tie Zoe Draven. And I was like, yes, because I need an author that has a gigantic backlist. Because when I like your writing style,
I read everything.
And I'm in Zoe Draven. That's her second series. Because I'm like, okay, of this writing style. So I'm like,
like, that's how I am too. I'm like, oh, if this is a writing style I like, or like the vibes or something I like, or the theme or whatever. Like Amelia Hutchins. Do you know Amelia Hutchins?
Yes.
I love her. And she has a Fae series that's all like, the reason why I really got into her is because the Fae series, I had read another book first of hers and I liked it. And then I was like, ooh, she's got a Fae Chronicles. And she has all the like Irish like backstory and she has a lot of Irish language in it. And I was like, it's all right. It's not
I love
that. And I was like, oh my God, yes. And so then I was like, I'm reading everything that she's written.
And I like long series with standalones. Because I'm not really good at series like I love like long series like that. So I can like I'm never wondering what I'm going to read next.
Yeah.
Because it's there.
It's there. Yep. You've always got something and it's great.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay. And then I always feel a little bit like I feel nervous, especially when I'm like overwhelmed with work. And I grab my Kindle to switch off.
Yeah. Okay?
Like it is for like, I don't want to think. I don't want to like, you know, look for it. Like it is like, it's just a comfort. Like I finished work. I did everything I needed to do. Now I'm going to like, I want the book already there.
Yeah. Just.
Which is why I usually do. I love alien romance because something I don't write. I just love it.
So it's a fun, like, I lost my words. It's a fun escape for you because it's something totally different. Yeah.
I also like, I love historical too.
I do too.
Because, yeah, I don't write that. Although I'm waiting. But this one I'm telling people, I'm not going to write. But if you're an author and you're listening to this, I really want an Omegaverse historical.
Ooh.
Of a Omegaverse, but like
that would be awesome.
Regency, like Bridgertown meets Omegaverse. Oh, I'm not writing it. I'm not versed.
You're like, I'm not doing it. Someone else do it.
I'm not doing it, but I want to read it. Yeah. So that's my request to the authors out there.
Well, I'll make a clip out of this and it'll be like, this is what we want you to do. From one author to another, and then this podcaster to the
authors. I'm not gonna write those.
Like, I will not write it.
Love it.
Please. Okay. So I should try to start to wrap this up. We usually do some fun, naughty questions or never have I ever or whatever. What would you like to do? Do you want to do fun questions or do you want me to find some never have I ever questions or?
Yeah, whatever you want. I like both ideas, but whatever it's easier for you.
Let me see. Never have I ever adult. Adults only. And while I'm looking for this, this is from Men's Health, so it'll probably be good. I mean, like inappropriate good, you know. I always like to ask this to people, whatever is your first celebrity crush?
I have a journey. I'm not even gonna listen. I'm gonna answer you as like the journey, and you're gonna get the type of man that I am into by my childhood love, which was Eric from Dungeons and Dragons. Ooh. And it was like, I don't know if it wasn't here in Ireland. Do you remember the kids that got lost and like when they were like in the roller coaster or whatever? Eric was the sarcastic, annoying. And the other day we put it on and I was like, why did I, as a child,
why did he resonate with me?
Why? I was so moany that I thought, wow. So this was like my childhood. Yeah. I would watch that and love, not the blonde main character
I always liked those ones too, like the and then now that I'm an adult, I'm like, it makes so much sense.
And then straight away when I was 12, and then still now, Adam Brody when he was Seth Cohen DLC, and you can see
the correlation. It's like, it makes sense. I like that setup. Yeah.
Like, that's like mine. And then it would be perfect if you knew my husband.
That's what
it would
be. I was like going to see, like, if is that he like an extension of.
It's like the dry humor, but he is not like chatty. He is very quiet, but dry humor, Irish man and beard and a man bun, Irish full on.
Way to go, girl.
Yeah. Okay. No, I did so. I did. Thank God.
So you're living the dream. I'm gonna come to the rare Dublin, and then I'm gonna find my Irish man.
The first what month?
So my celebrity crush happened. My first one was, I think I was like 5, and I was like, who is this person? I need to know everything about them and love them. And I am still obsessed with him so much. And it's David Bowie from Labyrinth. And I was like, who is that guy? Like, specifically him in Labyrinth. And then I was like, learned about his music and all the stuff. And I was like, I love him. As like people who like know me now and like how I've turned out and stuff, they're like, that makes a lot of sense.
Truly. Okay, right. Before going full-time author, I nanny, and I was a teacher in Brazil. And then I was, you know, art teacher and stuff. And then I came here and I was nanny for 10 years. And I've been around kids for a long time. And I always think it's really funny that people would like just say kids and do a general mm-hmm. thing when we all have like there's things that they do, it's them. Mm-hmm. And there's things that I tell stories about me that my mom would say that's not being a kid, it's me.
It's you.
Mm-hmm. There's everything I say about me, it's like, yeah, my mother-in-law mm-hmm. would tell stories about my husband and then she would like laugh and I'm like, yes, that like that's him. If you told me that this happened now and not when he was 5, I would still believe it.
Yeah, I know. There's so much stuff that it's like I love that it's, that there's so many things, because obviously people develop as they get older, but there's so many things that show up when you're a child that like transcends to, like it shows how you are as an adult. Yeah, I was looking at my baby book like a while ago. This was a couple years ago. But I like obviously read. We've talked about me and read. And this was when I was 2, I think. And there was a place for favorite color. And my mom put red. And then in parentheses, she put not pink with an exclamation point and underlined it. Had to be specifically red. And I was like, that's how I am. Like, I'm not a pink fan. I don't mind it for other people. But for me, no. Has to be red. Yeah. And I was like, dang. I knew that when I was 2 years old. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, like, so many things my mom would say. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's like, mm-hmm. I'm still okay with this. Like I'm saying, I was falling in love with the sarcastic one of Dungeons and Dragons. Like,
and there's the funniest one, though, you know.
There's nothing more me. Mm-hmm. He was asking the right mm-hmm. questions. They were lost, mm-hmm. and he was asking the right questions. Exactly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, let's do some of these. Never have I ever had sex in someone else's bed. Well, that's weird, because if you're with a partner, then...
Yeah.
That one's... Maybe, okay, let's modify it. A bed that does not belong to you or the person you are having sex with.
Oh, but also yes.
But yes, obviously. But also yes.
Yes.
Ooh, never have I ever had sex in an airplane. I have not done this. Have you?
Oh, no. I have too much anxiety. If you say no for me, I respect the rules. I'm a good girl.
You're the best good girl. I get so confused because, like, you do it in the bathroom, right?
And there's no space.
It's this big.
And if it's a long haul flight that I would maybe entertain, that's when it, like, you know, when I do for Brazil and it's like 12 hours and there's some point that they do turn it off the lights and everybody and they, you mm-hmm. know, they're like chatting. Maybe I'll be able to sneak there. It's a long haul flight. It stinks.
Yeah. And that's what like.
It's a public bathroom for 300 people.
Yeah. And I'd always be like, what if somebody needs to use the bathroom while we're in here? Like, bah. And also, it's this big.
Oh, like, I'm sorry. My ass doesn't fit there. I cannot invite someone else.
Right. And I don't want to, like, accidentally get my foot in the toilet or something, you know?
I change a nappy, like, because we went to Brazil when my son was 4 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm telling you, one and a baby already doesn't fit there.
Mm-mm. I don't know how 2 people get. They have to both be like this big. It has to be.
No, I think I need someone to tell me that did real life. But I think it's one of those tall tales that we like, oh, that would be nice.
Yes.
But I just don't think it's practical. But I am open if someone tells mm-hmm. me, actually, Amy, you're full of shit. I did it. I just.
Well, let's see. Never have I ever been injured during sex. I've had sex while injured, but I don't know if I've gotten injured during.
No.
No.
Like, no, no, no.
No.
Not because I'm like, I need to explain, not because I'm like super athlete that wouldn't get injured, just because I'm not apparently not doing like pirouettes.
That's great. Never have I ever had sex in a public place.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, I kneeled on a beach before. Hey,
that's public. I was going to say, like, when I was in college, across the street from us was a park. And so, like, I've done it over there. That counts, right?
I'll try to remember because I'm pretty sure, like, you know, but this is the only one I remember, like, in the beach at nighttime.
Ooh, but that sounds good.
Yeah. But it's the only really, like, you cannot, like, don't believe in the beach. You can go, like, it gets too sandy.
Yeah.
So you just can't.
I know. Like,
really. Like, that's what I did. Yeah, no, I don't want any sand over
there. I like this one. Never have I ever sexted someone while doing something mundane. 100%.
Yeah. Most, come on. Right? I'm writing sex with like four guys mm-hmm. and I'm like, no, in my pajamas. Right. So obviously.
Like, yeah. I love, like, are you naked? I'm like, yep, sure am. And I'm like in like a yeah. full robe and everything, like under the blankets. I'm like, yeah, totally naked.
Obviously, yeah, that's, I walk around naked mm-hmm. in my house.
I'm naked. Even if I'm in bed, I'm naked. No, I'm not, because I'm cold.
Yeah, I'm always cold. Yeah, obviously. Please.
Yes.
Like, I you know. Need to ask me if I ever, like, actually were
yes.
being sexy.
Have you ever actually been sexy during sexting?
And the answer is no.
I'm always like, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
100%. I'm giving you the vibes. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah, dudes. That's exactly what we're doing. This is funny. Never have I ever had a sex dream about someone in this room, which does not apply to us at all, but it's kind of amazing.
Can you imagine if one of us could just... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have.
I'm sorry. This interview got really, really inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super inappropriate, but in the best ways.
I'm going to go and answer as like a friend or something. Yeah. I don't even think I ever had anything.
I can't think of because I've seen that in like movies and TV shows where they're like, oh my God, I had this weird like sex dream about a friend. But I can't even no.
No, like I would have like random dreams that happens a lot since I got married, that I have full on romance with other men and other women mm-hmm. and like full on, like I'm living this love. And then suddenly I remember that I'm married.
Mm.
Like I did not, it's a horrifying because it's not like, yeah, you're having just a dream. It's like, I remember and then comes all the guilt because I guess I even though
that's what I was going to ask, like, do you wake up feeling guilty?
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my God. And it's horrible because it's a very anxiety inducing one, because like I had no idea I was married. I forgot about him. And then suddenly he's like, pah.
And then you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I forgot about my
God, I forgot you existed.
I forgot.
And it's horrible. Yeah. He's sharing my knife. I met my husband when we were 23.
Oh, yeah.
So it cut my fun stuff really quickly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
so like, you don't have a lot of opportunity. Don't have a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. I think like it go, like, you know, I was having fun in college, but I always think, and that is plays a lot in my mind. Like, I don't care now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're happily. I don't care. But I sometimes think like, wow, I judge myself. I think it was like that time, you know, I was in college in 2008. So it was a very judgy time for women.
Yeah.
So yes. My numbers and if I'm gonna have sex with a guy or if I'm gonna do this and this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look now behind and I'll be like, man, like I would not judge myself like that.
Yeah.
So when I met him, like I don't have regrets, mm-hmm. but I have regrets on like, I wish I didn't, like there's no one that I would like, I would go back in time. Yeah. It's not like that. It's just like, I wish I didn't judge myself.
Oh, yes. Like I graduated college in 2003 and it was the same. It was very much like, what's your number? What's your number? And it was like, and you had to, if it wasn't one or two, it was like, what's wrong with you? And it's ridiculous. So
I always think that like that it's the only thing I think I judge myself too hard. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely like, I hope that other people would just, and I hope that like maybe this is not the anymore and people are just having fun, whatever, and being stupid. But definitely like I sometimes go back and be like, damn, I'll be like, oh, so slutty. I look so cute. Yeah. I was 18.
Exactly.
I was living away from my house. Mm-hmm. It was Brazil.
Oh
I had
God.
Like pleated teeth.
But you had
tiny,
the best
short
outfits.
What I was doing? Like, I was being cute. I was in Brazil. It was sunny. Mm-hmm. Why I was not fucking every other person?
Exactly.
Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having the time of my life. No, I was like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Like, that's me looking at my 18-year-old, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep your morals.
Okay. So this has been like 800 years. And so we should probably get going. But obviously, like I knew it was going to be. This was a blast. And I want to figure out a reason that I have to go to the Dublin Rare. Because that would be awesome.
Listen, or if you don't find a reason
until 2028.
Yeah.
So it is really like you have 3 years. You might find a reason before the 3 year mark, but the very least you have rare.
At the very least. But otherwise, I'll find a reason before then, I'm sure. And then we'll
Okay. And then we can like have pints on top of women, apparently.
Yes, exactly. It'd be fabulous.
We can together use women as coffee tables. And I think that's beautiful.
Yes, exactly. It'll be great. We'll reenact your artwork and also the Guinness ad, and it'll be fabulous.
Oh, I think that is gorgeous. Yeah. I think we're going to be kicked out of any pubs. I think they're going to understand.
Yeah, they'll totally understand. Like, it's fine. It's a Guinness ad. It's fine.
It's a Guinness ad. It's history.
It's history. Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, I'll let you go for real. This was awesome. And we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you so much for having
me.
I had the best time.
I had a good time too. Yay. All right. Yay. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.